We're going to continue with our series on getting Jesus this week, and we're going to start by just noting that for the first time in a long time, the gospel is actually not as uplifting as James's letter this week. You know, James is kind of a Debbie Downer. He's just kind of always like, it's not going to be great, guys. It's not awesome. But this week, James is like, it's going to be okay, and Jesus spends a lot of time talking about self-flagellation and hell. So, for once, we should just appreciate James and say, good job, brother of Jesus. Way to be. Because we should tell each other way to be, right? When's the last time somebody told you way to be? Maybe y'all are all suffering from like a mild case of nobody's told. Doug, way to be. Scott Ford, even though you don't have your beard, way to be. Michael. Way to be. Heather, way to be. I meant that one more. You could tell, right? Honestly, that really does have something to do with what we're talking about today. Because today is really a time to talk about what exactly it means to see the kingdom manifested among us. What exactly it means to see how the kingdom can grow. I want to pay attention particularly to this interrelationship between these two passages. James starts talking about if any of you are sick, you need to pray. You need to have the elders come and anoint you with oil. You need to have someone pray over you. And then he's going to go on to talk about Elijah and how Elijah prayed for it not to rain and it didn't rain and how the prayer of the righteous is powerful. But right in between that, he's going to talk about confessing your sins to one another. Now, how many of you are excited about that? Anybody want to jump up and go? We don't, in our culture, if we are not Catholic, have a built-in system of confession. You can say whatever else you want to. Well, I prefer you not to say anything bad about the Catholic faith, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the one thing that I think is so beautiful is there is a built-in place where you're expected to go and spill your guts and to hear that you're forgiven. Or, way to be. That's really, I'm sure they use some Latin that directly translates into way to be. It's one of the reasons that groups like AA are so powerful. Because it is important to have a space to sit down and put out your dirty laundry and let it get a little fresh air and realize that it doesn't stink any worse than anybody else's. Exactly. Because you know what happens when you don't air your dirty laundry? Any of you ever, like, forgotten some clothes in a bag that maybe you tied up? And maybe you went and worked out, and you tied up your workout clothes in, like, a Walmart bag and, like, sat them over there, and they sat for a while, and then you opened them up. Did they magically start smelling better? So horrible. Because the deep truth is, whatever we keep hidden inside doesn't get better. It gets worse. Confession is integral when James is talking about the power of righteousness in prayer. It is connected and cannot be separated. It has a lot to do with this story that Jesus is in. John, the beloved disciple, says to Jesus, hey, you know, there was this guy who was doing this stuff, and he said it was in your name, but we don't know him. He's not one of us. So I think we're going to stop him. And Jesus says, whoever is not against us is for us. Most of the time, the way we act as people is whoever is not us is against us. That person's different than me. They can't be up to any good. Right? We can talk all we want about celebrating diversity, but when it comes right down to it, we like us, or we at least like our dislike of us better than we like our dislike of other people. If you followed that, you know what I'm talking about. We like us, and we want people to be like us. And if they're not, we want them to stop. Jesus says, if whoever is not against us is for us. And let me tell you, that is a big net. A complicated net. A messy net. But it's the net we're called to be a part of. Jesus goes on to say, right when he's talking about how we're all in this together, he says, it's kind of a non sequitur, right? You know what a non sequitur is, where you just, if you've ever talked to me at any length, you know what a non sequitur is, because I just change conversations. Like, we could be talking about something, and then I will often call it, I'll say, this is a non sequitur, but let's talk about this other thing that's on my mind. Jesus kind of just changes subjects all of a sudden. He's talking about, you know, whoever's not against us is for us. And then he says, now let me tell you, back to these talking about children, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better, and then he lists all this really dramatic stuff, right? It'd be better if you didn't have a leg or an eye or an arm or an ear. Basically, Picasso, you're in great shape. Picasso cut off his own ear. Anyway, it doesn't matter. No, not Picasso. Van Gogh, well, I know some things about Picasso y'all may not know. And when I leave here, I'm going to go edit the Wikipedia on it. And people who actually like history can just deal with it. Van Gogh, I'm sorry. The red-bearded one. Yes. Red beard, one ear. Okay. Wow. It's amazing how long on like a throwaway line I can just spend circling it. Jesus talks about how it would be better to enter the kingdom of heaven limping and blind than not enter at all. It would be better if you caused these little ones to stumble than that you had like a millstone put around you and you were thrown. It would be better for you to be maimed than to cause someone to stumble. So here's where the connection is. What causes people to stumble, and the reason that Jesus makes this transition, is that the focus on what makes us different that John wants to point to, the focus about how so-and-so is not with us, so we should stop them, the focus on our differences is what causes others to stumble. Because all the time, Jesus is focusing on unity. He's going to hang out with those who are on the outside and bringing them in. And he is only angry at those who insist on keeping the divisions. And so when someone says they're not with us, Jesus immediately transitions to talk about, listen, don't cause others to stumble. And what's going to cause them to stumble is if you keep focusing on what separates us. You want to know the secret to not focusing on what separates us? Confessing our sins to each other. It does two things. One, it lets us know we're not alone. And the things we think separate us aren't that different after all. But the other thing it does is it puts us all in this space of vulnerability and transparency and dangerous honesty, where we can stop pretending like we're perfect while we point out the imperfections of others. And when we do that, we're going to want to stop talking about the differences. Let me give you an illustration. I need four volunteers. Let's take an Allie, a Sophia. We'll just take, well, oh gosh, it's too many. I tell you what, just everybody who raised their hand. Ireland, come on. We got a Ford, a Hudson. Give me an O and B. One of y'all, I don't care. Just both of you can come. They're twins, so they can just do it together. It counts as one. Catherine, I'm sorry you got left out. No, I'm sorry. Oh, come on, you can come up too. You can just stand beside me. I don't want to point out things that make us different. Amber, if you want to come stand around too, that's fine. Okay, so I need you O&B girls, I need you to not fall down. I need you O&B girls to go grab a hula hoop. Ireland, grab a trash can lid. Allie, trash can lid, obviously. Amber and Catherine, okay, give her this hula hoop, and you hold that one with your sister, okay? You just hold that together, that's fine. Everybody good? Stand around, it's great. Any of y'all want to come stand up here? Come on. Suffering some children today, y'all. You're fine, stand around. Okay, hold them up flat. Yeah, sure. Hold them up like this way so everybody can see them. Like up. All right, so here's the most important question you get asked all the time. What's your favorite kind of diagram? Mine is also a Venn diagram, named after Richard von Wittgenstein. Totally made that up. I have no idea who Venn was. Venn diagrams are like this, right? Allie, come here. There are two separate things, like a trash can lid. We ran out of hula hoops, okay? But trash can lids are also round. And a hula hoop. And a Venn diagram points out where they overlap, right? So this is the thing that is common. Does everybody get Venn diagrams? You guys got smarter today, okay? If nothing else. Now listen, this is what we do with our faith. We realize that we are different, right? We're not the trash can lid. We're obviously this hula hoop. Other people are the trash can lid. They're not with us, right? Now listen. Listen, when we talk about getting along and commonality, Ireland, come just put yours like right here. Right here. Get a little bit of overlap on both. Oh, tricky. It's a three-part Venn diagram. Girls, y'all come hold this like behind Sophia. Okay. So you got overlap between all these, right? It's a very complicated Venn diagram. When we talk about what we view as unity, what we are talking about is there is some small common denominator that we might could agree upon, but everything else, what we do with people who are different than us, who look different than us, who sound different than us, who are attracted to people who are different than us, what we do with them, we're going to disagree about it all day long, but we're just, for the sake of Christian unity, we're just going to try to find this one little part, this little pin where we all get along, right? But what happens is that it's really hard to forget about all that other stuff. See, what Jesus is saying is a much more radical model. Do you guys see this large imaginary hula hoop that I'm holding that covers all these girls? You know what? The world doesn't see it either. Do you see this large imaginary hula hoop?
Yes.
Boy, if I can get you to believe that, man. Secondary income sources all day long. Do you see this large imaginary hula hoop?
No.
Listen, okay. The only people who said yes? Children. Jesus said, unless you become like one of them, you cannot enter the kingdom. We've got to let our... Okay, y'all can all sit down. Y'all give them a hand. If Vanna White ever retires, you all have a future. We want to focus on the tiny little thing that we can agree upon, but Jesus says, stop worrying about that. Because as long as you're focusing on that little thing, you're remembering all the stuff that makes you different. And as long as that is a part of your dialogue, then we are stumbling blocks. See this big imaginary hula hoop? It's awesome. It's like bright pink and purple, and it has lights inside of it that are like going in a cool like loop-de-loop pattern, right? Ireland, you on that? Yeah, Ireland's in it. You see him? This big imaginary hula hoop that binds us all together and subsumes our differences and overwhelms our differences is God at work in all of us. But until we really focus on this awesome, amazing, splendiferous, cool, radical thing that unites us, namely God, namely the blood of Jesus, namely the Spirit in us, if we're not focusing on the most radical, most flavorful, saltiest part, then we're not focusing on the thing that's going to let other people get a taste of the kingdom. You want to get Jesus? It means we got to squint a little bit until we see with eyes that can still have some imagination. We let the scales of our jadedness fall away, and we begin to act like God is really alive and working and binding us all together bigger than what separates us. That is the kingdom of God. That is where we're called to be. And that is mercy and grace at work. Amen.